Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Now get two sausage McMuffin with egg sandwiches for just $5. That's right, $5. And with many locations opening at 5 a.m. or earlier, your morning starts when you do. Order ahead on the app, skip the wait, and grab your breakfast on your schedule. It's mornings made better at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Must opt into rewards.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, the Irish Red Cross Humanitarian Awards took place this week. They had 17 finalists from across the country, all from different backgrounds who have really exemplified humanitarian values. Laura Ruth Wogu from Dublin is the founder of Sickle Cell and Thalassemia Ireland and Migrant Health Alliance Ireland. She has advocated for 14 years for patients with these conditions while balancing professional healthcare work and caring for her son with multiple disabilities. Her organisation's focus is on improving migrants' healthcare access and integration, and Laura joins me in studio now. Laura, you're very welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And congratulations on your award. How did that part feel? I know that's not your driving force to get awards, but how did it feel?
Yeah, it was surprising. It was a shock. It was amazing. And especially that it's the Irish Red Cross. I was really surprised, but excited as well and grateful.
Yeah, and it's nice. I'm sure there's been times it's been a lonely road. So to get a little bit of recognition is good and might fire you up for the next 14 years and beyond.
I was hoping to step down and give the reins to a few other people to take over. It looks like nobody will want me to step down again now.
Well, we'll see. And I suppose any campaigner is always looking to do themselves out of a job. You don't want there to be a need for you to fight for this so much. So tell us a little bit about your work and what led you to be involved.
The work is centered around awareness of sickle cell disease and thalassemia disease. And it's more to educate the population, educate the parents, the community about these conditions and make sure that people actually get themselves tested so they don't have children with sickle cell disease or thalassemia. But on top of that, we do support patients and families that are struggling with these conditions. We do a lot of awareness sessions. We do a lot of community outreach, marathons, anything that can bring the awareness, but at the same time support the patients. We also have done a lot of work in educating the healthcare professionals, and we do advocate for policy. It hasn't been easy, of course, especially as sickle cell is classed as a new disease in Ireland. And so trying to get the politicians and to get all the people in the government offices to understand that this condition is actually detrimental to the economy of the country, but not only that, to the people of the country. It's really, it has been really, really difficult. So how I started is because I work in St. Vincent's University Hospital and I was working as a phlebotomist. So during my work, I was working with the hematologists, and I met a lot of patients who were seeing a hematologist for leukemia, for cancer, different cancers. And I had to be taking blood off them and take it to the lab. The blood gets processed quickly so that they get treatment straight away. So seeing people from my background, seeing a cancer consultant really puzzled me. I felt really bad for them. But I couldn't understand why they were there, because most of the times they don't talk to you, they don't tell you. So what I did is I was reading the clinical notes. And from there, I saw some of the forms they would write what they are checking. So because I understood, then I said, oh, sickle cell. Strangely enough, I didn't know about sickle cell myself. So I started educating myself about the disease. And I started researching more and more and realized that we had a lot of people in the country who had the condition. That was in 2010, who had the condition, but there was no organization, no support network. So that interested me more. So I started talking to the patients. They were shocked that I was talking to them about it. They started trusting me, and we started from there. And that's when one of the consultants that actually looks after these patients was so happy that somebody has taken an interest. He said, I'll support you any way I can. So myself and him, I started doing all the work. I started trying to find out, how do you start an organization? How do you start a support group? So from there, he was supporting me with information, with connections with the clinician in Crumlin, Dr. Corina McMahon. So from that, I set up the organization and we went off from there. He became the patron of the organization. And when he retired from St. Vincent's University Hospital, then he stepped down. So from there, we started the awareness up to now.
And that is so special when somebody goes outside the realms of their work, that you were open to push further and do more. I think that's really, really special and really brave.
Yeah.
What is sickle cell and thalassemia?
Sickle cell is a genetic blood disorder that affects the red blood cells. So as you know, the red blood cells are soft and cushy and they kind of in a circle shape. And they have oxygen, which they transport this oxygen all around the body. So we can really survive. For somebody who has sickle cell disease, those red blood cells, they die off between, let's say, 15, 20 to 21 days. So they die off very quickly. And the way they die off is that they lose the oxygen and they turn into a sickle. They become hard. And they can't bend around like the cushy one. Their normal red blood cell is soft and it can pass through the different veins and different arteries to take blood. But the sickle-shaped one that has lost that oxygen, it's dead. It's not taking anything, but it's still moving with all the others. But when it's moving, it gets clogged up in different areas. So if your elbow, like let's say, passes like this, it clogs up. And when they clog up, they block the blood supply to the rest of the body. And that's when you hear somebody is having a severe, severe pain crisis, which they call the VOC. So that pain crisis means that the person, all the sickles are now blocked. The person is not getting blood to the other parts of the body. And that can happen anywhere in the body, in any organ of the body. That's why sickle cell then affects every part of the organ. Every part of the body or every organ of the body. So when they have that pain, before they can feel better, they need a lot of pain medication. They need IVs to flush out. They need to drink a lot of water. Some of them manage it when it's not too bad. They manage it with drinking a lot of water, pain medication. But in many cases, they need to really attend the emergency department or to see a doctor straight away. So that's the simplest I can tell you about sickle cell. But the symptoms of sickle cell are that most of the times people have jaundiced eyes, jaundiced skin, they have extended stomach, they develop mental delay. So sometimes you see somebody is really small, but they are an adult. So the swelling of the hands, swelling on the feet, which is very common with children mostly and at the young age. People are born with sickle cell, so it's not something that you just get from someone. Both parents have to carry the gene for sickle cell, and you have to pick one gene from each parent for you to have the disease.
And thalassemia is similar but different.
Yes. Thalassemia in this case is the red blood cell. Again, it's about the red blood cell. Again, it's genetic. The difference is that they are born with red blood cells that don't really have oxygen. They already don't have oxygen, but they don't sickle. They are just, you know, like you have a balloon that doesn't, it's a balloon, but there is no air, but it looks like a balloon. So that's more of thalassemia. So they are really, really very anemic. The same thing, they have distended stomach. So they are developmental delay as well in terms of their features. They would need to have a lot of transfusions continuously for them to survive. But also sickle cell disease needs transfusions for them to also survive. So they have a lot of similarities.
Where does the migrant side of what you do come in to this? And you mentioned it was people from your background that you were seeing. Talk to me a little bit about that.
So the migrant side is that when I started the organization, it was sickle cell and thalassemia island. And through all our work, we've met a lot of people. For the last 14 years, we've gone to different counties, spoken to different people, but not just people with sickle cell. So for me personally, I already have the passion in healthcare in general, not just about sickle cell and thalassemia. And I have met a lot of migrant people that are struggling to access healthcare system, not just that they can't access it because they may have a medical card or they can afford it, but they don't know much about the healthcare system. They don't know how it works. And also, those who are in the healthcare system, you could find a patient that does not speak English, is a migrant, doesn't speak English. The doctor comes in, talks to them, and the person has not really understood what the doctor said. But the doctors are so busy, they have very limited time to sit and explain everything. So they just say what they are saying, they go, the person is like, I didn't understand what they said. And I've seen that when I'm working. So, and I find that sometimes that person just needs someone to explain a bit more or to give them time to ask questions, which they rarely don't get. And sometimes they don't understand the language or they don't understand what's going on or they don't understand the scientific word that the doctor is using. So that access, that part of accessing where there is the language barrier, there is the fear of the costs of going to hospital, because a lot of people fear to go to hospital because they think, oh, I'm going to end up paying too much. I'll just manage at home. Even the GP, going to the GP, it's too expensive. Some people can't afford it. And then sometimes people don't understand what actually their condition is. So they don't have the knowledge of the disease because the stigma and the barriers traditionally and culturally and religiously that we face actually make people not to know about the conditions that they have. Some people don't understand cancer because the word cancer, they've just heard it when they came to Europe. But back home, it's called something else. And what it is called, they would think somebody's bewitching me, somebody's doing something to me, not realizing that, no, you're actually sick, you need to go to hospital. So all those dynamics, all those challenges, all those things that people go through in general, those are what led us to start Migrant Health Alliance, just to educate the community, educate the people, work and coordinate with services for people to understand that you can actually go and get sick health care for what you're going through.
And aside from supporting the patient through this process, is there an openness in medical professionals to have more flexibility around how they treat and speak to the wide variety of people they may have in front of them every day?
Well, I really can't answer for them, but I'm hoping that there is. And I believe that maybe the more we go and engage with them, there will be something like that. But it's sometimes you find that it's very difficult to even find a translation service that will suit a particular patient. And not that the hospitals don't try, they actually do. But in many cases, it might take a long time. And that means that the treatment of that person is taking longer. The person is staying in the hospital for longer days because they can't find just one person to translate in that particular language. So there is, I'm hoping that there is some kind of wanting, but...
Yeah, it's challenging.
Yeah.
I know when you came to Ireland, it was the age of direct provision. Aside from that, your personal experience here in Ireland, your professional experience and working now with the Alliance, have you seen progress or where are we at with this?
I think it's quite bad at the moment in that. And I'm not saying it's the health system. It's more for me. I'm more in the community. So it's quite bad for the community. For the health system, I might say that they just don't know how to engage with the diverse community. And they are trying because they've done a lot of different projects. But it's really difficult to break into the migrant community because people tend to lack that trust in the healthcare services. Some of the communities have a lot of trauma that they've gone through or the ancestors have gone through. Others just don't trust the modern medicine, maybe because people have come from back home and they use herbs for everything and you feel better. When I was younger and we had a bad cough, my mother used to give us eggs, raw eggs. You just swallow it and you're okay. So there was no medication that you have a cough or a cold. No, just raw egg, you open your mouth, pam, and you'd swallow it 2-3 times and you're fine. When you had a fever, they had a lot of different leaves, then they add them together, crush them in water and make the water turns green. You use the leaves to scrub yourself and you shower that water to bring the temperature down until you are fine. So a lot of those things that have happened in various communities, they come and now you're telling them to take a tablet. They are wondering what's in that tablet. And then when they read the paper that says side effect, this side effect, that, they're like, so if I take this, it will go and it's going to help me with this, but it's going to bring this on. So they don't take it. So the lack of trust in the modern treatments is what makes people not want to, in many cases, not want to access the healthcare, apart from not knowing how to get to go about it. So it's not that the health system of the people or the people in charge have not tried. They have tried, but they needed that that to bridge that gap. And I think that's what Migrant Health Alliance brings. We are there to bridge that gap because we can now access the community. So we need to work together. The community can trust us and then they need to trust us. So we all work together so to bridge that gap.
And how can people support you? What would you like to see happen over the next few years?
With Migrant Health Alliance, which sickle cell is now falling under that at the moment, Migrant Health Alliance is actually doing a lot in terms of research. We are encouraging people to participate in research, and reason being that if a research is being done on a treatment, let's say cancer, I'm always going to cancer because it can affect anyone and it's general. And maybe they want to do a solution to some type of breast cancer and they want to bring out this treatment that is going to really treat that breast cancer. But research has to be done first. When they do, when they get people who will give their feedback and everything about that research, and most people, let's say, and I'm going to base on somebody from Africa, and you don't participate in that research, the results of that research that are going to come out are not going to have you in mind. They are not. It's not going to work for you. So in terms of designing a treatment, that treatment is going to not work for you. And it's going to work for everybody else. And you're going to wonder, but why this treatment didn't work, but it works for 90% of the population, but it doesn't work for me. Because when it was being designed, you were not included. You were not part of it. What makes it that you're not part of it? Because you didn't want to participate. You refused to participate. So the main point here is that we want to encourage people of the migrant community, not just Black people, but people from Asia, people from Ukraine, anywhere that you're a migrant, participate in research, because the more you involve yourself in research, you learn, but also you give feedback for people to learn what happens with you, because all our bodies are different. Our genetics are very different. So when something is being done, it is done with you in mind.
And it's so important, and it comes back to that trust and that community, which is very much at the heart of what you do. Well, yes. I'm not surprised you are a finalist. This is incredible work that you do, using your brain in the lab and your heart in everything that you do. So continued success to you. Congratulations again. People can find out more information at sicklecellireland.ie and also redcross.ie. Laura Ruth Wogu, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.